Welcome, smack bang, back to the Hemingway list. People. This is a speed round. Part 6, chapter 26 of Anna Karenina. What was this chapter about? I followed 0% of it. Wait, was that yesterday's chapter? Or have I... That was yesterday's chapter. Fair enough. What was this chapter about? I followed 0% of it. JMama8779 said, I too nodded off in the back of class today. Sorry. Levin is enjoying some time with elections and got himself a fresh new outfit. I think that's about all I got. I didn't even get that much, JMama, so you did pretty damn well. I am Norwegian said, I feel like someone dropped me into a random place in a book. We know Levin felt badly about not doing much of anything after getting married. Maybe this is just him trying to fix that. Still, in the beginning of the book, he spent some time talking about how he wasn't a good fit for Zemstvo, how they didn't really work, and yada yada, and now he's back. Question mark. Sluggy with 3G said, we've already read about the Zemstvos earlier, but I think it's worth pointing out that these were still relatively new at the time of the novel is set. They were only created in 1864, so we are really only talking about a decade here since their introduction. And while membership was dominated by members of the nobility, peasants did also have representation with the Zemstvo. I want to say roughly 20 to 25% of the membership was made up of peasants. I think that what we see in this chapter is a group of people trying to organize themselves within this new bureaucracy and feel out what they can do with it. For Levin, I think this chapter shows some of his growth as a character. He states in one of the opening chapters that he quit the Zemstvo and still... and thinks it's pointless, but in this chapter we see him coming at it with a more open mind, trying to be involved. We get a similar scene when he is in church. Earlier in the novel he is exceedingly uncomfortable while at mass, but here he seems much more at peace. Good pickup. Very good pickup. You've seen some actual character development in this chapter where I am sitting here scratching my head like a monkey and going, ooh, ooh, huh? Swims to the mother, she said, I don't know. Kitty is becoming such a paragon of virtue now. She is about to enter Stepford Wife territory. From Anna Karenina. But Kitty, who had noticed he was dull in Moscow, had advised him to go and, without saying anything to him, ordered for him the uniform for the occasion. Tolstoy brought out his big hammer. See, Kitty is supportive of Levin, and she is so thoughtful. Anna is needy and nagging. She only thinks of herself. Maybe she is manipulative. And it is these 80 rubles that chiefly decided him. The Stepford Wives is a 1972 satirical thriller novel by Ira Levin. The story concerns Joanna Ebhart, a photographer and a young mother who suspects the frighteningly submissive housewives in her new idyllic Connecticut neighborhood may be robots created by their husbands. The book was subsequently made into a movie in both 1975 and 2014. 2014? The Nicole Kidman one? That seems way older than that. I thought it was from like 2004 maybe. That's of all the interesting things you just said, and I just choose to stick on that point. I'm very, very sorry. That's all I have for you in terms of discussion today. So let's read the next chapter. Speed round. Like I said, it's a speed round today. It's a very short chapter too, so this is going to be a very, very short podcast, and you can go about your day, and I'll see you the next day. Chapter 27. On the sixth day of the provincial elections were to be held. The large and small halls were full of noblemen in various uniforms. Many had come for that day only. Men who had long not met, some of the Crimea, some from Petersburg, and some from abroad, came together in those halls. At the marshal's table beneath the portrait of the emperor, discussions were in full swing. Both in the large and small halls, the noblemen were grouped together in their parties, and from the hostility and suspicion of their glances, from the cessation of their conversations when a stranger approached, and from the fact that some of them even went whispering into the farther corridor, it was evident that each party had secrets it kept from the other. By their external appearance, the nobles were sharply divided into two sorts, the old and the young. The old, for the most part, either wore old-fashioned buttoned-up uniforms of their class and carried swords and hats, or wore the naval, cavalry, and infantry uniforms to which each was individually entitled. The uniforms of the old noblemen were cut in the old-fashioned way with puffs at the shoulders and were clearly too small for them, being short-waisted and narrow, as if their wearers had grown out of them. The young men wore long-waisted long uniforms, loose uniforms, wide across the shoulders with white waistcoats, or else wearing uniforms with black collars embroidered with laurel leaves, the emblem of the Ministry of Justice. To the younger party also belonged the court uniforms, which here and there ornamented the crowd. But the division into young and old did not coincide with the separation into parties. Some of the young ones, as Levin observed, belonged to the old party, and on the other hand, some very aged noblemen were partisans of the new party. Levin stood with his own group in the small hall, which was used as a refreshment and smoking room, listening to what was being said and vainly straining his mental powers to understand it all. Koznishev was the centre around whom the rest were grouped. He was now listening to Sviatsky and Hulustov, and the marshal of another district, who also belonged to their party. Hulustov was unwilling to go with the members for his district to invite Snetkov to stand against for election. Sviatsky was persuading him to do so, and Koznishev approved of this. Levin did not see why his party should ask the marshal to stand when they wished to defeat him. Oblonsky, who had just had something to eat and drink, came toward them in his chamberlain's uniform, wiping his mouth with his scented and broidered lawn handkerchief. "We are holding the position, Sergius Ivanich," said he, smoothing back his whiskers, and after listening to the conversation, he backed Sviatsky's opinion. "One district is sufficient, and Sviatsky evidently belongs to the opposition," he said. And everyone but Levin understood him. "Well, Kostya, you too seem to have got a taste of it," he said, turning to Levin and taking him by the arm. Levin would have been glad to get a taste for it, but could not understand what the point was, and stepping aside from the group, he told Oblonsky of his perplexity as to why the marshal of the province should be asked to stand again. "O sancta simplicitas," said Oblonsky, and briefly and clearly explained the matter to Levin. If, as in former elections, all the districts nominated the provincial marshal, he would be elected receiving white balls from everyone. This we do not want. Now eight districts are willing to invite him to stand again. If two districts refuse to do so, Snetkov may decline and stand, and then the old party might choose another of their members, and then all calculations would be upset. But if only Sviatsky's district does not invite him, Snetkov would stand. He will even get a good number of votes, so that the opposition will be misled, and when a candidate of ours stands, they will give him some votes. Levin understood, but not fully, and wished to put some further questions, when suddenly everyone began talking at once, and moving noisily toward the large hall. "What is it? What? Who? An authorization? To whom? What? Rejected? No authorization? Fluorov is not admitted. What if he is being prosecuted? In that way they can exclude anybody. It's mean. The law," Levin heard shouted from various sides, and he went towards the large hall with all the others, who were hastening and apparently afraid of missing something or other. Hemmed in by the crowd of noblemen, he approached the provincial table, at which the provincial marshal, Sviatsky, and the other leaders were having a heated dispute. End of chapter. End of speed round. Speed podcast. Thanks very much for listening. I will see you tomorrow.